At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, D'Anthony. That was a monstrous hit of marijuana.
Every now and again,
blew out of your mouth hole.
Every now and again, we have to do a serious show.
Yeah, we
and
do.
For me to be able to do that, gotta be real.
Gotta be real high.
Roll high.
Gotta amp it up. Yep. Gotta get a little green inside that system. Our guest today is Mr. James. It's Klug with an umlaut, right?
That's it. You got it.
Yeah. Where's that umlaut going over that you?
Oh yeah, right over.
Goddamn right, it is, man. Yeah. What'd you do on the SATs when you had to put the umlaut in there?
I think it automatically bumps up your SAT by about 50 points.
I think it does.
Sophistication involved.
How did you double dot it on the thing? Is what I don't understand.
I don't.
You never did.
I take the loss on that one.
I feel like German people should start suing the government
for umlauts.
Everybody else is oppressed. Why not get in on it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't put my fucking real name here.
Yeah, strange, man.
Right?
Umlaut oppression.
You heard it here first, folks.
We shall overcome. And then it's just everybody holding up two fists, like umlauts, over their heads.
Wait, let me... The Germans, they've never oppressed anybody, right?
I don't think so. Germany's got a pretty clean history, except... there was two instances. Never mind. Two instances.
There was a minor blip in history, but
God, what was that?
The Holocaust?
Two world wars. That's it. Sorry about that. That often escapes my memory. Speaking of world wars, though, it appears as if we're having a civil war going on in Portland, and that's where you were. You spent an entire week in Portland. Is it as crazy as everything we're seeing on the news right now?
And you know what? I think the news is completely inaccurate about the reporting of it as well. I mean, depending on which news you're looking at, it's like, okay, yeah, it's chaos. Some nights are peaceful, right? So like this last weekend that I was there, and peaceful, I put in quotations.
Sure.
They really have to push it to get federal officers outside. And just to let you guys know, I mean, you know, when people see the feds, when they're saying, oh, the feds are escalating the situation, the officers show up after maybe the 8th or 15th warning on loudspeaker saying, get off the federal property, stop setting fires on it, stop shooting fireworks, stop throwing all this stuff, and stop running around spray painting the place or trying to burn it down, which I'm sure you guys have seen some videos. They offer about, let's just say, right around 10 warnings to leave the property. And on the 10th warning or 12th warning or 15th warning, they show up. Surprise, surprise.
When you say they, right? You mean the fucking jump out boys, right?
The jump out boys.
Exactly. I mean, they cruise, they come on out and they let you know they're going to use tear gas. They'll use whatever riot gear that they need to use to get you off that property. Now, this last weekend, they didn't come out at all. And that's because, you know, some nights they just don't, the protesters just don't push it as hard as other nights, right? Mm-hmm. But they certainly get close. I mean, for anyone that says that, oh, it's the officers are escalating the situation again. A lot of these protesters, they are begging for it. They'll be outside saying, wakey, wakey, pigs, come on out, all this stuff, like totally antagonizing, trying to get officers to come out. And they bait them the whole time.
I'm sure you got plenty of video footage of this because that's kind of what you do. For those of you who don't know, James, I don't know how you would refer to yourself, but you're almost like a street reporter. Like you go out on the street ask people to debate you about certain topics. You're always very respectful. You're very well read on all the issues and stuff. And people generally don't know how to handle that, typically speaking, because the average.
It's very confusing to people. Yeah. So I do street reporting. I do on the street debating. I do political commentary. So my YouTube channel, just, you know, James Klug, right there. Plug it. So that's essentially what I do. And we go about it. I mean, exactly. We go about it really respectfully. And it's funny. One of my camera guy, he's always wearing like vibrant colors. I don't know why he does it. but he's always wearing like a bright pink or a bright green or whatever it is. So we show up, we're respectful to people. We're talking, you know, we're talking about pretty tough topics to talk about nowadays. And people are just so confused. They'll be like looking at the camera guy being like, what the hell's going on? Why is this guy being nice to me? What's happening?
Sure.
He's in their head. In their head, you know, a conservative commentator, conservative person is aggressive, racist, whatever it may be. So they just get totally thrown off. It's actually quite funny to watch.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I like
it. It is. And it's one of those things to me where I can't figure out why they're protesting. Is it because of the president? Is it because of Black Lives Matter? What are they protesting exactly? Because, you know, in Portland, when I see the news coverage, and obviously you were there, it appears to be just all white people. And it feels odd that they're still protesting Black Lives Matter in Portland, where there is no black people.
Are no black people.
Whatever, man.
Subject verb agreement.
I never do it. I never reply.
No, I don't get it either. Honestly, it's,
I never reply. That's
I think in Portland, from what I've heard, a lot of the stuff that's still going on is about Breonna Taylor. Is that correct?
Okay, so you'll get those chants. You'll get Breonna Taylor, you'll get George Floyd, you'll get Black Lives Matter. You'll get all those chants. Mm-hmm. But really the real reason why they're out there, and this is just, hey, I've spent multiple nights out there, this is what you see. You have, you look at the type of groups that are out there. You see revolutionary communists, you see Socialist Party, you see Antifa, and you see BLM. And they're all out here protesting together. And the reason for that, people are like, well, why are these groups out there protesting about this? Reason for that is because they largely are protesting just the system and advocating for a complete teardown and restart of the system to be kind of more of a socialist, Marxist utopia. That, and it sounds like, you know, I'm just jumping to conclusions there. No, I mean, these are the groups that are there. These are the chants that are happening. It's wildly anti-Donald Trump. It's wildly anti-police. They're constantly chanting, you know, burn these precincts to the ground. Mind you, the past, what was it, 3 years at least in Portland, there hasn't been a single unarmed black man shot by police. Oregon. We'll just go with the whole state. The entire state, you haven't had a single unarmed black man shot. At least last year, I believe it goes back 3 or maybe even 5 years. But it's not about George Floyd anymore. It's about the system. And people that don't take this seriously, they really need to look. These people are super unified, and there's thousands of them every single night to about, you know, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., thousands of people.
By the way, there's not a black person in Oregon at all, so I can't imagine there would be any police brutality there.
Damian
Lillard. It's a small number. Yeah, it's like 6% or something.
They all play for the Portland Trailblazers. That's about it. But I mean, the other part that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around with these protesters is where do they get the money? What do they do for jobs? And who has this much time?
Well, right now they're getting the money from the government because of COVID.
For sure.
Like, that's... You could, a lot of this stuff that's happened over the summer, you can fucking lay right at the feet of people being out of work, but also getting paid. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
For sure. I mean, they're getting like $1,000 a week, and that's way more than enough to fully fund all that you do is go out at night and protest and riot. That's way more than enough. And not to mention, some of these groups are pretty well funded, like the socialist groups, as well as the Revcoms, the revolutionary communists. Mm-hmm. You see these guys, they're flying all over the United States. I'll see them at protests all over the United States, and any movement that they can jump in, that they can kind of put their you know, footprint in when it comes to trying to revolutionize the United States, they're there. And the unfortunate part is BLM is totally accepting of that.
Why? It seems like it would only, I don't know, I've said this in the past on this show, but it seems like it would only muddy their cause. So why are they behind these protests?
It does. You're right. It does muddy their cause. And for people that are watching or listening, you know, keep in mind, BLM is a hit or a miss when it comes to the aggressive protests, when it comes to what they believe in. you might get 30, let's say in Portland, I would throw it out saying 25% or so the BLM leaders were anti the anarchy, anti, you know, saying all cops are chanting, all cops are bastards, chanting, burning these precincts to the ground, chanting all this crazy stuff. But the other 70%, 75% is totally for the chaos. They're totally for the destruction, because they're just, you know, in their heads, they're over it. They've been quote unquote oppressed their whole lives, and they're over it. And so I think when it comes to some of these movements coming together, these movements all believe in destruction of the system and overthrowing the system. They really do. So there's a lot of ideological like similarities there to where they get together and there's not really a problem.
Man, it's so strange and odd to me that this is happening. And
I mean, people are really, really fucking stupid. Let's be real.
Yeah, people, but there is a danger in it, man, because look, people are getting hurt out there. And you still have to put a police force out there.
Yeah.
We saw what happened in Chaz, right? Which is our favorite place to, Dan and I's favorite place to get an Airbnb together.
Vacation galore.
Yeah, a very big VRBO market there. super cheap, but it's a two-night minimum. Now that, you know, it became Choppin', I heard that they broke that up and everything else. Like, first of all, it causes millions and millions of dollars worth in destruction to the cities. But now police officers are forced to deal with this on a day-in, day-out basis, which must be exhausting. And I can guarantee you their salary hasn't gone up for this bullshit.
No. Well, in NYPD, they're fucking fleeing. There's record retirements. People are opting out. They're moving to new jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Like, they're losing officers left and right because of this bullshit. And it's gotten so bad that Cuomo even was talking shit about fucking de Blasio and his treatment of police.
Yeah.
That's how, when fucking Cuomo is, like, trying to reel you back in, that's not a good sign.
There's a Cuomo conspiracy going around, too. Do you know about this one? The shirt that he was wearing at that briefing, the white shirt.
With the nipple
piercings?
Yeah. He's got nipple rings, which is a fun, flirty thing. Was not expecting that.
Yeah. I think the world saw that, and everyone's like, yikes, this guy's a little bit more of a freak than we all expected.
Yeah.
Like, I don't intrinsically have a problem with nipple rings. What I have a problem with is a 65-year-old man that's a fucking governor of a major state having nipple rings. And I feel like that is reasonable on my part.
For sure. I totally agree.
Holy shit.
The sad part about New York is, I mean, you know, I believe they're the largest law enforcement agency in probably in the world, but definitely in the United States, I believe. Yeah,
they got about 35,000 full-time employees.
At least for their officers. And I think the state has like 70,000 around that. So just the city alone has four times as many officers as LA. And, and you know, massive. There's a lot of crime. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of gangs. And the past, I believe in 2019, there was zero, you know, all these sparks about killing unarmed black people, zero unarmed black people killed in 2019, zero in 18, zero in 17, zero in 16. Like, they actually perform very, very well. Mm. Not to mention, you know, they are well-funded, but you have to be well-funded for such a massive city of 9 million people.
Yeah,
right. And they've been pretty, I mean, New York's been on the ball about doing experimental shit. Even Bloomberg, who is, you know, say what you want about him, but he was the guy that presided over Stop, Question, and Frisk, by the way. It's Stop, Question, and Frisk, not Stop and Frisk.
Right.
Stop, Question to Determine PC, and then Frisk if you felt it was necessary.
Right.
That's how that went, by the way, just for you motherfuckers that can't goddamn read. But anyways, yeah, he presided over that. That is a very aggressive policing policy for a guy like fucking Michael Bloomberg. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, I will say this, with New York having lived there,
you got to do something.
A few times you do. And, you know, Giuliani was the one who really cleaned up that city. And I thought Bloomberg did a decent job as well. It seems like it is going to fucking hell now with de Blasio in there.
Well, I mean, Giuliani did well. He and Bernie Kerik, who was the chief of police at the time, you'll remember him because he almost became Bush's national security advisor until they found out he had a Guatemalan immigrant unregistered as his nanny.
Yeah.
And he got booted.
Yeah.
Then he went to Iraq.
Bummer.
Yeah. Too bad. You know. Anyways, they did well.
They did well. Like
Penn Station used to be fucked.
Yeah, de Blasio is not doing well. Look, a lot of these cities, because, I mean, Dan and I just came back from Los Angeles, and holy Christ, what a hellhole that's become.
Yeah.
You can see how it happens, and it's very quickly, and if you don't get ahead of it, the city will be overrun, either with these fucking people who are protesting for no reason, or homelessness, or whatever, because the police are stretched way too thin in these cities to combat all of this shit. In Portland, what do the business owners think about this? Like, do they just shut down shop and just move out to the suburbs? What did they do? Because in Los Angeles, it appears to us when we were there that most of them had just left.
Yeah, and those storefronts, particularly on streets like Vine,
yeah,
$18,000 to $45,000 a month in rent.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
there's this trickle effect of the commercial real estate has got to be fucked in LA right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to stay afloat. I mean, luckily it's conglomerate billionaires. I guess they'll be fine. But like, it's going to change the entire landscape of that city over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and what about Portland? What's the sense there from business owners?
So that's funny you brought that up. For Portland, okay, just to paint a picture for you guys, if you go to downtown, there's literally BLM spray paint everywhere. It's like anti-capitalist spray paint messages. It's anti-police, obviously, you know, kill all cops. These aren't uncommon things to see on the walls, on the side of businesses, stuff like that. Most businesses are boarded up, or at least, you know, 50% have some boarding up, either for preventative measures or someone broke their window and then they just boarded it up until all this stuff passes. But I did speak to a couple of business owners. One lady I asked for an interview with, I even said, hey, I'll blur out your face. She said, absolutely not. They're going to recognize my store. They'll recognize my body. They'll do whatever and they'll come after me. And she said there was a small liquor store.
That's okay.
You guys there?
Yeah. It was nice to see that umlaut though.
Yeah,
in person.
Honestly, I'm thinking about getting my nipples pierced now.
You should.
Like two umlauts. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's all it is.
Cuomo's a secret German.
Yeah, that's all he is.
He's got umlaut titties. Anyways.
Yeah.
Continue your very serious conversation.
Yeah. And let me know if I'm being too serious.
No, not at all.
We love this stuff.
I'll be honest.
We love
this stuff bummed me out. It bummed me out. And this sweetest lady, immigrant from Iraq, one of the nicest ladies you'll ever talk to. And she said, yes, I had an issue with the protesters, or quote unquote protesters. People are going to get mad at me for saying that. Quotes around protesters. They caused $25,000 of damage to her store.
Wow.
And these business owners are completely over this stuff. She was telling me, hey, listen, I pay taxes. And part of that reason, a big reason is why I pay taxes, is to assume that I am safe.
Yeah.
Assume that my business is safe.
Yep.
And you'll notice something at these protests where there is not an officer in sight. And I've been talking to a lot of people about this because it's so weird. I've been to a lot of BLM protests, you guys, like more than I can count. And a lot of times there's officers there just making sure everyone's safe, everyone's doing something legal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Portland, the officers only show up if there's an issue with them literally attacking a police precinct or attacking federal property, and relentless about it. They are nowhere to be found otherwise.
Right.
And the reason for that is because Mayor Ted Wheeler, he's kind of gone with the approach, and he won't admit this, but the protesters simply cannot handle a police presence. These people literally hate the police. There would be police that were up top in the federal building that are just sitting up there, you know, 8 stories up. Protesters are shouting, jump. Do a front
flip. Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Let's see pigs fly. And you're just like, what is, like these people, they hate police so much, they can't even handle a police presence without getting totally out of control. It's insane, dude. It's insane.
We're in triggered culture. I mean, people have been trained to feel like any negative emotion I feel about anything is something that I should express to somebody else, that it offends me, and that they shouldn't do that behavior anymore. That this is the fucking landing spot for that type of behavior. By the way, the unlawful use of violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in the pursuit of political aims, which crashing capitalism and starting Marxism would be a political aim, is called... Anybody? Anyone want to take that? Yes. Terrorism. It's fucking terrorism. Like, what do we do? You can't fucking, if you say, if you're an organization particularly, but even a person, you say, my stated goal is to overturn the political system in this country. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I'm going to fucking destroy property and fucking burn it down and get violent. That is terrorism, motherfucker. Yeah. You have to go to jail. Send all these little fucking white turds to Gitmo. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah. And it won't stop until they get their way. And also, I wanted to note for you guys, I would actually love to hear your thoughts on this. Business owners all over Portland putting up POC owned, person of color owned, or Black Lives Matter all in their windows in hopes that these racist protesters decide not to destroy their business because of the color of their skin. What are your, I mean, man, you guys seen that picture?
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And there was, God, it's everywhere. It's happening in a lot of cities, too. It was happening in Austin, Texas as well, where people were, business owners were putting that up.
Well, you know, they wanted to do that. They wanted to make a Chop Chaz in Austin. They showed up and then fucking the police sent horses out there and ran them out the fucking street immediately.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like that shit. It's Austin, sure, but it's still fucking Texas.
It's still
bro.
Texas, bro.
You better slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
But yeah, even there, there's fucking. People are putting shit up like POC owned for sure.
Yeah, it's sad, and I'm personally angry about it. I just feel like we're losing a grip on this country very, very quickly. And you know, to go back to something you said earlier about feeling sad about it, that's the way I felt when I was in Los Angeles because I lived there for so long. I felt sad for what I was seeing, and there isn't enough money. There's not enough police to stop it. To do anything about it right now. And you know, with Portland, I get it. I wouldn't want to send, if I was a police chief, I wouldn't want to send my officers out night in and night out in this bullshit for one of them to get killed or harmed or injured protecting or trying to protect people that don't want any protection. They don't want any law enforcement whatsoever. And part of me is just like, all right, great, if that's what you want in this city, go ahead and live in a lawless city, because how long will it last?
That's the biggest irony to me. Like, when a cop does something that these people don't like, that are this anti-police, that are literally wishing death on any cop, right? Mm-hmm. So a cop does something they don't like, and they're like, record it. We're going to report this. Report it to whom, bitch?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't believe in the system, the system isn't coming to fucking help you. You can get fucked, motherfucker. By the way, I said this on the show last week. James, I don't know if you happen to see it or not, but if all this breaks down, this capitalist patriarchy, all these fucking weak little turds out there are just going to get all their shit taken away by me.
Dan's just going to take their shit, and that's going to be it.
Yep. I'm rolling through in a fucking couple of semi-trucks in a convoy, and it's like, hey, you, all this shit belongs to me now, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is being funded by a higher source and power right now? Like, a lot of people throw around, you know, the name George Soros for all of this. Is any of that true? I mean, you're out on the streets investigating and doing reporting all the time. Do you think it's possible that part of this money is coming from the DNC?
Do I think it's possible? Honestly, you guys, I'm not the biggest conspiracy theorist, but and it's not because I don't believe him. It's just, you know, I just don't dig into him too much. But when it comes to this, I wouldn't be surprised about anything, to be honest. Like, with how radically left the DNC has gotten. I mean, if you guys look at the Democratic platform of early 2000s compared to 2016, it's unrecognizable. Mm. They've gone way, way, way far left. And, you know, when you do stuff like that, when you start to kind of adopt extremism and leftist behavior, yeah, of course, that's definitely possible. But also what I would say is, you know, if they need funding from elsewhere, all you have to do is look at BLM that's taken in hundreds of millions of dollars to do pretty much whatever they want with it.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Like, what are they doing with that money? I question, I've talked about this a lot in the last couple of weeks with not just on the show, but with various people that I know from different backgrounds and stuff. Cause they're all curious. Everybody's kind of getting frustrated. Like, yeah, we've done phase one. Now, what are we going to actually do to fix any of this shit? Cause no one seems to have a reasonable answer for that. Now I think it's promotion of education towards careers and then private business ownership. Financial independence is the most important thing in this country and in any capitalist society. But as far as how to get there, and all these people like still kneeling at sporting events, like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Why don't you stand up do your job and make your money and use your money to do something. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's aware of this problem. What did kneeling do? I don't have a problem with the kneeling thing. I don't give a shit about that. That means nothing to me. The point is that all the people over here that you're trying to convince are deeply offended by that.
Right.
So why even do it? You're just doing it to be a fucking asshole. You're doing it because you can. That's it. Otherwise, you're stupid. It's one of those two things. You're doing it intentionally to be a dick, or you're doing it because you're too ignorant to see that you're fucking hurting your own cause. You know what I mean? It's fucking dumb. Take your fucking millions of dollars you get for playing a game or making music and go start some businesses and make fucking black dudes CEOs, black women CEOs.
Yeah.
Give them ownership in the company. Let them have financial independence, because the only color that matters in this country is green.
It is. That's going to continue no matter what. So my question is, in order for this green to keep going, do you think people show up on November 3rd and vote specifically against what's going on right now in this country? Like, is there a shot that Portland overthrows their fucking mayor, overthrows the governor there? Like, we've got a buddy who's running in Oregon, Alex Scarlatos. He's up right now in the polls.
Yeah.
He's running for Congress, and it's like, and he's a Republican. Yeah. He would, I think, be the only one from the state, or the first one in like 27.
He would be the
first
one in that district since the previous guy took over in like 81 or some shit like that. It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you hearing out there as far as like the vote coming up? Are people starting to change their mind and being like, hey man, this can't go on anymore?
I think the media has done an amazing job at not painting this movement as a Marxist movement. I think they've done an amazing job as not covering the hate. And I think a lot of people have really fallen, and this is the exact purpose of it, really fallen for the Black Lives Matter name. Is most people that don't dig into politics, they don't know any of this stuff. They don't know. They just think, hey, it's Black Lives Matter, and that's all it means. Yeah. Well, that's not the case, or else I would be totally for it, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Like, if you say the phrase Black Lives Matter, almost everyone except for assholes is like, yeah, I agree with that. But
yeah, and they hide behind this. They hide behind this name, and it's basically a massive Trojan horse with Marxist agendas inside. And I think a lot of the population is fooled by it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of them are, and I also think, you know, people also vote their pocketbook. Hopefully the economy picks back up for Trump, or else he might be struggling. And this movement, it's not something to underestimate. I mean, these people are seriously motivated. It's a big movement. Black Lives Matter is a massive movement. There are, you know, tens of millions of people that have protested the past 2 months, tens of millions. And there's nothing more that's stronger of like a driving force than fear, hatred, anger. These are very strong driving forces going to the polls, compared to, let's say, maybe people that are, hey, yeah, my, you know, I'm doing well. I like how things are. Those people are less likely to show up. So, you know, hopefully people kind of wake up and see how much of a threat this is to our society, and hopefully they show up. But yeah, I mean, I think they'll definitely be voting. I think it'll be another really, really intense election. I think it's going to be pretty close, in my opinion.
I
don't buy the landslide anymore.
I don't either, man. I've said this before on the show. I think it's going to be razor thin, and I think this is going to go all night. And I think we might not get an answer about who's going to be president until Thanksgiving. If some of these states end up going full mail-in ballots, good luck.
Well, typically, if they go full mail-in ballot, they start allowing it about 3 weeks before the election day.
Correct, yeah.
And they're not, I mean, it does still have to be manually processed either way. It's like a Scantron sheet that you remember from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you make your selections and they drop it into a thing and it gets counted and all that
right. Bullshit.
So there's going to be a lot more hands-on work. It's not going to be like Florida in 20 or 2000, where there's like hanging chat. That stuff doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, maybe, I would not be surprised if it took a couple of days. And you imagine the fucking news coverage there. Trump refusing to admit defeat, and then it like all the stuff comes in and he wins by 3 points or something. That's my guess.
Right,
it's going to be something stupid.
I can tell you this, like me personally, and I'm not, I don't get too fucking crazy about shit, but like my personal hatred for what's going on in this country with all of this bullshit, I cannot wait for November 3rd. Like I'm waiting for November 3rd as if it's my fucking Super Bowl. To vote for me personally. because I want a resolution to all of this shit. And I know you won't get it, but at least I'll have an answer for the next 4 years about what's going to happen, because I don't know what's going to happen if it goes the other way. Let's say hypothetical Biden gets in there. He's not mentally with it anymore, and I feel bad about that. And I'm not even gonna shit on Joe Biden. Like, he served the country for 47 years in politics. To me, that's a little too long, but still, you know what I'm saying. But still, like, I'm not going to shit on somebody who's dedicated themselves to their country and whatever cause it is and belief in it. Look, it might not be mine, but that's also a job that not a lot of people want at the end of the day. He will more than likely die in his first term.
He's going to be 78 November 20th.
He has said this numerous times. He said, look, whoever the vice president is very, very important, because I might not make it through the first term. And he's right on that. But my fear is that he also won't do anything about what is currently going on. Because if you let the rest of the country slide like it is in Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, and this starts going in New York, this starts going across the country, we're headed towards being a fucking third world country at that point. I mean, I saw some shit, fucking San Francisco, for Christ's sakes. Like, there's shit going on in the streets that you're like, man, I saw that in terrible parts of the world that I did not think that I would ever see in America. And to me, I think this vote is probably the most important because of the perfect storm that has happened over the course of 2020 between COVID and the protests. And that date can't get here fast enough, but
I wouldn't be too worried about it, to be honest, because starting in about 2 weeks, one, Biden is going to have to debate Trump or make a good excuse why he didn't, and that's going to turn into ads as well. But the digital media campaign that's going to come out of the RNC and the Trump administration is going to be fucking nothing but BLM people tearing shit down, or Antifa people tearing shit down. Quotes of Jerry Nadler, fucking, or a video of Jerry Nadler saying that it doesn't, it's a myth. Do you see that shit?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Here's a video, like, somebody's showing him a video. Here, they're burning down a federal building. Nah, it's not real.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Nah, dog, that's not real.
That shit's going to be playing on loop on every social media outlet for fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
There's no way that Biden's winning. No fucking way.
Yeah, the right has a lot of ammunition right now, for sure. I mean, we have a lot of ammunition. The left, the COVID thing pulls well from them.
Like,
the whole COVID thing?
Yes.
It pulls well from them. Even though New York is 1/5 of the total COVID deaths, like, even though all these liberal cities are literally the biggest disasters for COVID, somehow they've managed, and I guess because the media is covering them, somehow they've managed to hide from, like, hey, it's not really, it's kind of our fault, but don't worry about that. It's Trump.
Well, I mean, Trump's,
like, how'd you get away from that?
Trump's also a knucklehead. Like, his ability with the press is a win and loss every single day. You know what I mean?
I
like it because I don't give a fuck who wins. I just think I want to be entertained by all this, right? And Trump is the most entertaining president of all time.
Of all time.
It's not even fucking close. I am. I'm a terrible human being. So I love that. But even then, like, there's just no way. There's no way with Biden. The only thing that you can really go against Trump with is the economy and his handling of COVID, but nobody's handled it well. Not in this country.
No, and look, I don't think this should fall on any politician of how they've handled it, to be honest with you, because you're fighting a disease that you can't see. We certainly haven't gotten any correct information out of China.
World Health Order, our organization, has been full of shit this whole time.
Yeah.
The CDC has been wrong about everything. Fauci's been wrong about everything. Look, you can only do so much. Yeah. You can operate the only screw off up the information seen, you have.
The only screw-up I've seen was the nursing homes situation, where it was obvious that it was the most vulnerable. That's the only screw-up I would be like, hey, you're responsible, or, you know, partially responsible for that. Like, what the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, New York, when it comes to population density, of course they're going to get hit the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, their population density is, I'm just going to throw a number out there, probably like 10 times more than LA. Like, it's crazy.
Well, there's 8 million people just in New York City and the five boroughs, right?
Yeah. And they're getting the fuck out of there real quick.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this violence is headed up to, like, the rich people part up on the Upper East Side, where they're like, whoa, we don't see this. Well, you are now, and there's no police there to protect you, and people are exiting in mass. Fuck, man, I just saw Jennifer Lawrence's house today. She fire sailed that goddamn thing for $6 million less than she bought it for like 3 years ago. People want to get out of there, and there's not enough people that want to move into New York City right now. Where do you think this is going to fall on election day? Do you think Trump pulls this out?
Oh, gosh. There's so much that could happen. Here's the thing. I think if Trump focuses less on a similar campaign to like Hillary, meaning that the attacks have to be very strategic because this guy's half living. It's really hard to talk shit to an old dementia old man, like a grown man that has dementia. It's really hard to look cool talking shit to an old man with dementia. It really is. And if he's strategic about it and points it out and kind of lays off the whole, you know, constantly hitting him for stuff, because it doesn't, I don't think it polls very well, especially with like, you know, people hated Hillary. People don't really hate Biden. They really don't. If he's strategic about that, if the economy does gradually increase or just even kind of stay the same, it doesn't, as long as it doesn't totally crash, I think that that campaign is pretty well armed with like what you guys were talking about, you know, videos, photos of BLM, Antifa destroying cities, lawlessness, roaming the streets. I think they're well enough armed with all that stuff to where they have a very good shot of winning. I don't think it's going to be a landslide anymore, though. I just don't. Again, like I said, hatred and fear is a very strong driving force for people showing up to the polls. It really is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it'll be close, but in my opinion, I do think Trump will win, but not by a landslide. No.
We'll see. I will see.
You still think it'll
the
be
the first debate is the third week of August, right?
Well, here's the thing.
We do have to wait for that. Too.
Supposedly.
I'm just saying, man. Supposedly. This my strategy, if I'm fucking the campaign manager over there right now, or the
for
fucking,
Biden or Trump?
For Trump.
Okay.
I'm like, ask him questions about his past, because recall memory is going to be a problem for him. And we've seen it before. He walked into that one venue and he was like, he thought he was somewhere else that he was at as a child.
Every venue, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the fact that he goes back, we've seen it before. He also uses these like dated references. These are all signs of dementia, by the way. But
yes,
you have to exploit it in a way that doesn't seem, like you said, James, like you're fucking just talking shit and roasting the guy. Like if you just, my strategy would be to ask him about the crime bill, first of all, because he wrote the goddamn thing. Like, the audacity of somebody getting on one of the largest viewed black programs on earth, right? Charlemagne's program.
Yeah. Like, the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it's huge. And telling people if they don't vote for him, they're not black, is like, after you wrote the crime bill that put millions of black dudes in jail and are primarily responsible for the fact that 65 to 70% of every black child born in this country is born to a single mother. That's because of you, fuckface. Like, I would ask him that, but then I would get into the dementia shit. Not, you know, subtly.
Right.
You can't just say, hey, you dumb, man. You don't know.
Yeah.
Just start talking like a hillbilly. Can you imagine if Trump came out full hillbilly? Like, he comes out in jorts and a fucking flannel shirt with the sleeves cut out.
Larry the Cable Guy style.
He's like got his hair trimmed into a mullet. He's like, hey, we ain't taking no fucking shit no more, man.
He's got he's got a fish hook on his Bass Pro Shops hat.
Comes out with a beer.
Yeah, exactly. Stone Cold Steve Austin
just crushes him.
Starts fucking going ham.
What if he started showing up to political events and playing that Stone Cold walk-in music, the glass crashing?
Oof, be great.
I'm not a voting for Trump kind of guy, but I would vote for if he did that.
Yeah.
Or whichever candidate starts killing pedophiles in the street. If Biden started doing that, he's got my vote.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to happen, but... No.
It's because all his friends are fucking children. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're all friends with Epstein. But if I'm Biden, I pass on all of these. And say, hey, guys, COVID, you know, today he announced that he wasn't going to Milwaukee to accept the nomination, that he's going to do it from his house in Delaware. There's not going to be any speakers there for the DNC convention. Mm. And he's going to do it from his house. I think that is slowly setting up of like if they believe these polls, if the Democrats actually believe the polls that are being put out day in and day out, I look at it and say, why risk it? Why trot Biden out there for fucking... Because those are 2 hours. When you're a one-on-one like that, it's not like the primaries where you're, you know, You got 12 people, and you're maybe getting 14 to 18 minutes of talk time.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours, one-on-one on
the
stage.
It's just you.
Yeah. And it's real lonely up there. And that would be a lot of time, because right now, I don't think that he has done a speech or some form of rally for more than 10 minutes online so far. And all of them have gone horrifically, including yesterday's on CNBC.
Oh, man.
So
it's bad, dude. Like, I haven't seen anything like it before, which is another, like, this is another reason I think that Trump is going to win handily, because why have they still not named the fucking VP?
Strange. Very, very strange. Yes.
It was going to be Kamala Harris. Politico accidentally leaked that story. I don't know if they pulled back because they got backlash from it. Maybe they leaked it intentionally to see what the response would be before they actually named something. They do that in politics quite a bit.
Right.
It's a very smart move to do that. But who is it going to be then?
The rumor is this, that there is some talk inside of his camp that Kamala Harris is too ambitious and will try to outshine.
She's going
to
murder him?
Joe Biden. Nah, she's not going to go full Hillary, but
she's going to murder him.
But she's the one on stage who ripped apart Biden, and he's still fucking salty about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the major, because the other candidates so far, and Dan went through this the other day with, like, Tammy Duckworth. She's a little too boring, not flashy enough.
I think Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin would probably be good too. She's the first
You need Wisconsin.
She's the first. It's a swing state, and she's the first openly gay fucking senator in history.
She black?
No, white.
White.
And she's got a straight up Karen haircut too.
Well, there's the problem there.
But a lot of my friends have worked with and for her. She's actually a really nice lady. I don't agree with her on anything, obviously, but I think she might make a good choice. She's a good speaker, but not exciting, which I think is, again, a problem. Like, it's gonna
I don't
get...
think they're going with white people, though.
No, probably not.
When you're a Democrat nowadays, you have to be tolerant enough to, you know, choose people based off the color of their skin and not by the content of their character
or their
achievements.
Yeah. So here's what I think is happening.
So who's
having
it gonna
a
be?
Hard time?
Is it going to be Duckworth? Because it's her or Keisha Bottoms or who?
Well,
the fuck
here's the other thing. That Karen Bass chick, she got popped for the Scientology speeches and everything else.
I mean, shit, man.
She's out. Susan Rice is still lingering in the background there.
Look, Susan Rice is all right. Like, politically, she's not, but as a human being, she's good. I think she'd be all right.
And she has experience.
But boring
as
fuck.
On the global stage.
Boring as fuck.
I understand.
Dude. Like, I wouldn't, that's why I think Condoleezza never ran for president. Because somebody told her that's why she never got drafted into the movement or some shit like that. Because people wanted Colin Powell, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
People wanted Colin Powell and
yes,
not,
they did.
They wanted him and not George W. Bush.
Right.
And that probably would have been great for our country if that had happened, to be frank.
Right.
But it didn't, so here we are. But anyways. Condoleezza Rice, also boring as shit. She's she's a wonky nerd. That's your fucking VP, not your president. Like, when's the last time we had a fucking nerdy, wonky president? Maybe H.W. Bush, but he was a goddamn war hero. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think with now, like, you take a guy like Trump, like, Pence is boring as shit.
Oh,
but it was necessary. You can't have two Trumps, two guys that are that outspoken in there.
No, it's a team.
Now, with Biden, he's already got his own fucking issues, and he can't talk everywhere. Therefore, whoever this VP is, better be exciting enough to go out and stump and campaign for the next 3 months, because it sure as fuck isn't going to be Joe Biden.
It can't be.
And I think that is their main problem right now. The other problem I heard is, on paper, Elizabeth Warren and her policies really match up with what the party of the Democrats is trying to do right now. Mm-hmm. But it's what he said is she's white. So,
yeah.
Well, one like 20,000th of her is native.
Ah, that's right.
True, or 32,000th. I don't know what it was.
Cherokee. So
is that how you say it?
It was something like that.
Marching on the Trail of Tears, Cherokee.
Yeah. Of all the stolen valor you could do, racially speaking, that's a bad one in this country. Because we kind of fucked them up a little bit.
Yeah, like we took their entire land.
We didn't do right by those folks. And
no,
I would say that we were a minor inconvenience for that community.
Pretending you're fucking Native American in this country to get like scholarships.
It's a pretty
shit. That's not
dicey
good,
thing to do.
That is not great.
Yeah, the least we could do is give them some casinos. Like, come on, man.
Which also, what does that say about the benefits of white privilege, quote unquote? She spent half her life, if not more, pretending not to be white.
I know.
Yeah, his wife did that too.
My wife. On accident.
What a weird thing.
Yeah, my wife, her mom told her for 35 years that's, you know, they have Mexican heritage and a strong Mexican heritage and all this shit.
So she learned Spanish, put her kids in Spanish immersion schools and shit?
Well, that's, yeah, I mean.
And then 23andMe came around. It's like, oh, shit.
They got the test and it was like, actually, we're Italian. There is not one single ounce of Mexican in us. And,
wow.
And yeah, my wife's mom had lied to her all these years on accident, but it's still pretty funny. With Elizabeth Warren, though, that's not the case. Clearly, she fought to the bitter end to prove that she was 1/60th Indian. And she
even paraded about it when she was proven wrong as well. It was a nightmare.
Yeah. So look, but I think if you're going off of her as an orator, she's great at speeches. She was the one who ended Bloomberg's campaign live on stage and within 5 minutes.
If she's prepared,
it's good.
She's good for speeches.
Correct.
For sure.
Yep.
But is it going to be her versus Pence on the stump? Because that to me is a win for the Democrats, if that's the case.
I agree.
Pence is a smart guy about some things. He still has these deep roots and like fundamentalist Christian nonsense that people don't seem to like out in public these days. And if I'm her, I just attack him on that shit all the time.
Right.
Like his anti-gay stuff. And I haven't really seen him debate. We didn't see that much. So in the 2012 election, we saw fucking Paul Ryan out there stumping for Mitt Romney all the time.
Yes.
When, obviously, Biden was out there for Obama all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, Cheney was out on the stump for Bush all the time. So
correct.
That's not a new thing.
No, really. Not at all. And they do give you one debate between the VPs. So it's three. It's typically the format is three for presidential candidates and then two for or one for VP candidates.
I think they should have one cage match. Whoever wins gets to pick whatever VP they want.
Yeah.
And they win the election right there.
I'd be great.
Like, there's no election. It's it's a cage match, but you can power up some stuff. Like, you can get a fucking chimpanzee on steroids in there.
That'd be great.
Tag him in.
Yeah.
Let him rip somebody's arms off.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see a fucking death match. I'm tired of this voting bullshit.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
I think we're all done
maybe
with
throw
voting.
A couple chainsaws in there and see how well it works for everyone.
Yeah. By the way, I've been teaching my 2-year-old how to juggle him, and he's getting real good.
Did you put the blades on yet? Or
put the blades on. Yeah. He's only lost 2 digits, but he's improving.
You can get away with 6, really.
Yeah,
just like a little claw hand.
Yeah, a little claw hand's fine.
You can still pick shit up pretty well with just these 6 fingers, for sure.
Yeah, look at crabs. It works out for them.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, they
powerful
get,
species.
They get eaten a lot more than we do.
Now's the point. The show, we get some sponsors to pay for this whole shit wagon on the air. Sometimes we just get rapping and we don't get into it. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. You ever laid your dick down in a ghost bed?
He doesn't know how to answer
me.
Yeah, it is. Goddamn right, it is a question for you. You ever lay your dick down in a ghost bed mattress?
Always. Hey. Actually, it's what I do in my morning and evening routine.
It's a fine mattress. If you don't have it, I would recommend hopping out of the shower, toweling off, and just laying your dick down in it. Man, it's a comfortable mattress. They're the best in the biz, Dan. Right now, if you get 30% off if you're a member of the military, a first responder, a member of the government, or a teacher, 30% off everything there. If you're a regular dum-dum civilian like myself, you get 25% off. And as always, you get 2 free pillows with a mattress right now. And there's a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest on that. That
and
is
it works
applicable
with
all
the
of
deals,
those deals.
Man.
Correct.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I like that they added teachers to that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because every time I see a child, I get angry. If I even see one.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine being in a classroom with 40 of them all day. Can you imagine that?
Now it's virtual, so you don't. At least you don't have to see them.
I called a kid a pussy at the car wash the other day. I didn't mean to.
How old was it?
6.
Ah, Dan, that's too old.
I didn't mean to.
He's going to remember that for the rest of his life.
Yeah, his dad.
You know what? Sometimes you got to deliver that gut check, though.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sometimes.
It's called tough love.
Yeah,
his dad drove a Prius, and I was already mad about that, seeing a grown man drive a Prius. I was like, this is not okay. Then some noise from the car wash scared him or something, and I just looked over. I'm wearing a mask, obviously. I looked over and like, pussy. And I didn't realize how loud I had said it.
Yeah.
But he had turned around and looked, and I don't know if he heard the full thing or had. He has no idea what that means, for sure. He's 6.
Sure.
But at some point, in therapy 25 years from now. He's like, that guy at the car wash called me a pussy.
Yeah, that bearded man with the mask on. I don't know what kids are going to
be. He's probably going to be Antifa now because of me.
Probably.
Sorry, yeah. Ghost.
That's important character development, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you got to deliver those.
It is. But Dan just put another member of Antifa out in the world. Congratulations.
That's just another person to collect shit for me for the next 20 years, and I'm going to come take it all as soon as the police go away.
Goddamn right. Including that ghost bed. If you have a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. What do we got up next, Anthony?
What day is today? Is this going out tonight?
Who knows? No. This is not. It's going out next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
Felix Gray's on here.
Felix Gray. Glasses.com.
I wonder what the new data is for this. What's the new data on how much time in front of screens? Because it was 11 hours before.
It was.
It's got to be like 15 now, right?
So we have these Felix Gray glasses. Yeah, they're there.
They've got the blue light blocking technology, right?
In there for looking at screens and all that shit. The old average before COVID started was people are staring at their screens about 11 hours.
Either
out of
a computer, a phone, or a TV for TV 11
for
hours.
11
a
hours a day. But that's about right. If you work a 9-to-5 job, you're in front of a fucking computer all day, of course. You're going to burn out your eyes, though. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros. And they got free overnight shipping in these glasses. They are the best. Everyone steals these every time they come to the studio.
Yeah.
And it is bullshit. Because we love these goddamn things. Tiffany's the one who keeps taking these goddamn
Amiri King stole some. Yeah.
Either way, I think
Tiffany.
Yeah. Classic Tiffany. That's Tiffers for
classic
you, though.
Tiffany.
That's fucking, what a white girl. Tiffany.
Tiffers.
Nice name, you know? Go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros and get yours today. Free overnight shipping. If you need a prescription in those, throw an extra $20 at them, and they'll pop them in for you. Best in the biz, man. That's the only thing that's saving my eyesight at night. Mine are at home. I don't even bring them into the studio anymore because I get fucking jacked every time.
Yeah, I tethered mine.
Did you?
To my body.
Yeah, you did.
I won't tell you where.
Ooh.
Kill Clip is next.
Yeah, killclipcbd.com. You ever had CBD? You a big CBD guy?
I don't think I've ever had CBD, actually.
Great, dude. Yeah, KillcliffCBD.com is the best drinkable in the biz. We drink a can of this shit every night. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. No THC, so you will not piss hot. Three amazing flavors, grape, orange kush, and mango. The grape is my favorite. I'm a child. I'm a six-year-old who only likes grape things.
Let's be clear about why it is you like grape. Are you willing to admit this if I bring it up?
Good.
It's because you like lean.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why. That's true. Grape tastes best with lean.
It does.
It's just the way it is, man.
I'm a big fan. Go to killcliffcbd.com today. Promo code Drinking Bros. 20% off and free shipping there.
SERP.
You can get those cans right to your fucking house. What else are you personally working on now? And what city are you headed to next?
So what we're going to be working on, honestly, you guys, after leaving Portland, I was like, okay, we just need to go and debate some of these people because this stuff is so out of control and they are gaining ground. Like they, you know, almost every single major city is looking at defunding, removing funds from police without even knowing where or what or why that's effective. So we're probably going to be headed up to LA this weekend.
He said up to LA, so he lives in like Riverside or some shit. Whoa, he's trying to be real cagey.
I live in Orange County. I live in Orange County.
There it is. Dan fucking sniffed it out. What's happening in Los Angeles? Is there still protests in Los Angeles? We did not see any.
Yeah, I didn't see anything.
But we saw a lot of homeless.
Well, they were painting the BLM mural on Vine, I think.
Oh, you're right.
When we were there.
Yes,
but that's it. Like, there was like 12 people out there.
Yeah. Does it go from city to city? Because that's kind of what it's starting to feel like.
Yeah, it's kind of just all over the place. We're not seeing those massive protests that we were seeing before, but we are seeing pretty good sized ones with hundreds of people still. Last weekend, let's think, the only one that I'm aware of that I really saw was them protesting at police officers' homes, which is them just bringing it to a new level.
Sure.
Probably at least maybe 50 to 100 people there protesting in front of the officer's house. In LA County. I don't know exact details, but they're kind of all over the place. You'll have them in Santa Ana, Irvine. You'll have them, you know, downtown LA.
Sure.
Well, those first two you said are a little bit wider than other areas of LA. Do you think that has anything to do with it? Like maybe other people have things to do and white unemployed children.
Yeah.
white unemployed.
You know what? the real question I have is, there was this lady that I spoke to at a protest a little bit, maybe a couple weeks ago. And she was like, oh, an officer told me to go protest in Compton. And I know what she meant by that. And I was like, I don't think you do. What the officer clearly meant was, yo, there's a lot of big problems going on. And you guys are focusing on like these like wealthy areas for no reason at all. Like go focus on the communities that need it most.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because when I was in Los Angeles, the only protest I saw was in Ventura.
Oh, really?
So I went up and they were
Jesus Christ.
The Black Lives Matter. They went down Main Street, which, you know, all the restaurants are now outside. So it's like,
did Whole Foods run out of quinoa? What the fuck are they protesting? That's
the thing. And like, you know, and I was with my 6-year-old getting ice cream at Ben and Jerry's, and everybody screaming Black Lives Matter. Somebody was right behind my kid was like, why is it all white people saying this? And I was like, I don't know. And I don't know what you hope to gain by going up to people outside the wood fire pizza place and screaming in their face. The Black Lives
You know
Matter.
What like, helps? You know what helps is thoughtful conversation.
Or go to the precinct. Like if you want to change the police, go to the precinct itself, I guess. I don't. What the fuck?
Oh, I don't know about changing police policy. I just mean in this entire debate, when this all first kicked off, about, I would say, 80% of America was on board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slowly going down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, as we find out, look, if BLM is an organization, and it is, mm-hmm. and the fucking three main leaders of it all say legit, are espousing legit Marxist ideologies, that to me makes it a Marxist organization. That does not mean that everybody who supports BLM obviously has Marxist intentions or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I start a company right now that does any kind of fucking business at all, and I say, we're a Marxist company, and I own it, we're a Marxist company. The end, bitch. Like, if it's the inability to fucking admit that the movement has been co-opted in that way has taken it from the vast majority of Americans being in favor of it to it's dwindling down. Like, there are these new polls coming out from CNN, obviously, and Washington Post that say the majority of Americans support BLM. They don't distinguish between the movement and the organization, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's still only like 53%. That number, if it was the movement, Black Lives Matters, and not this bullshit organization, that number should be in the 80 to 85 range. Because that's typically what people believe reasonable stuff in this country, like reasonable gun controls measures are supported by somewhere between 85 and 91%, depending on what polls you believe, of all Americans. Like, people don't want, here's a good example. The terror watch list that the federal government keeps does not talk to the fucking gun ban list.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a fucking suspected terrorist and legally buy a handgun in this country. That's a problem that everybody acknowledges, but we can't do shit to fix it, even though that amount of people fucking agree on it. So anyways, that's the amount of people that are reasonable when it comes to certain issues in this country about stuff, 85 or so percent. That number has dwindled down 30 points.
Yeah.
Because of this fucking bullshit. And it's irritating because I don't want whatever bastard children I have out there to have to deal with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know any of them, but I wish them well.
Me neither. And I don't even, even having these conversations of like, why are these white people dressed in black with their faces covered and all this shit? Like, I don't...
black is slimming. Maybe they're feeling anxious about their body.
Perhaps.
But I mean, COVID, no gyms are open. I don't know.
Yeah, it's July in Los Angeles, a little bit warm for that attire. But
last weekend in Portland, there was officers up on the building, and this chick right next to me is screaming, as well as many other people, but she's screaming, saying, I can see how ugly you are from all the way down here, you effing pig. And I look over because she screamed right next to me. I look over and I'm right next to my buddy, and it's just this whale, this whale. Yikes. Dressed in all black. And I'm like, God, self-awareness is crazy.
It is crazy. I don't even know how you do what you do, to be honest, because you know how stupid all this shit is. How do you sit there night after night and talk to these fucking people with a straight face?
Honestly, I kind of just look at it from the perspective of them being Americans. Even though I may strongly disagree with them, they do have like a similar end goal for the most part. Like, a lot of people want safer communities. People want better policing. People want all this stuff. And then where we wildly disagree is how to go about it.
Mm.
And kind of there, you know, it's getting worse and worse. So it's you almost like can't agree on anything. But I don't know. I don't really have I have a pretty high tolerance for stupidity, I guess, or aggressive behavior. I mean, people could be screaming at me and I'm pretty mellow in front of them. I don't really have a problem with that at all. And then when it comes to the protests, we actually dress undercover. So I'll wear a BLM bandana. I'll wear all this stuff, a hoodie. Mm-hmm. And just because, hey, believe it or not, showing up in a MAGA hat is not a good idea.
Yeah. And, who would have thunk?
And there's thousands of them. but yeah, it's never really been a big problem at all, honestly.
Let me ask you this here. The body cam footage got released from the police officers mm-hmm. in the George Floyd case this week. There has been some people in the media, in particular on the right. Buck Sexton was one of them, saying that we did not get the full story with this George Floyd thing. I watched it. It was about 13, 14 minutes long of this body cam footage. Here was my honest thoughts, and I'm curious to get your reaction to it, is I think the charges are too high, and I don't know how they're going to prove intent to murder to get these guys for a prison sentence, to get them on these charges like this. And I think this is why the DA and everybody took their time in charging these police officers, or trying to at least, because they wanted to make sure to get it right, because it's really difficult to watch that first 13 minutes of footage. He's clearly on drugs.
I haven't seen it, so recap it for me a little bit.
Go ahead.
No, you do it. Yeah. You're the guest. Okay, fuck
okay,
this guy.
So yeah, essentially what they never showed is this body cam footage. And to be honest with you, as soon as it was released, I was pretty shocked at how silent the media was. And even when it was released, if they did mention anything, they kind of missed the points. The major points here were from the body cam footage. It would show them pulling up, you know, he starts freaking out. He's clearly off his ass mm-hmm. on whatever drugs or alcohol he's on. Okay. He was
foaming
totally,
at the mouth, and the officer was
totally
asking him
up.
why he was foaming at the mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. And so officers are nervous. They're asking him to show them his hands. Mm-hmm. He's not showing them his hands. The officer does, have his hand on his gun. And as soon as he shows his hands, puts his gun away. Okay, great. They take him out of the car. He starts saying how he can't breathe while he's standing up. Mm-hmm. He's getting claustrophobic, even though he was just in a car. And he's kind of resisting arrest and not really cooperating. The cops do appear to be doing a very good job at this point. And by the way, I'll just note, obviously I'm not for like what happened. I think it was pretty aggressive. The knee on the neck was a bad play, all this stuff, right? Yeah. We all agree with this. Yeah. But for this video, they're putting him in the squad car. He's resisting. They're telling him to stop resisting. He gets in the car. And this was the biggest part, actually, is he kept saying he couldn't breathe when he was sitting down in the car, which was like, what the hell's wrong with this guy? He mentioned that his mom, I think, just died when she didn't. This guy's wired, right? And he asks to lay on the ground instead of going in their car. He asks to lay on the ground. And he's totally tweaking, saying he can't breathe the whole time. And so it's okay, back to your point. They're pursuing second-degree murder, or at least they were.
Yeah, we'll see.
Public opinion cannot sway what a doable charge should be, what a possible charge should be. They did the same thing. I think it was it Zimmerman's case?
Yeah, Zimmerman's case should have been manslaughter, at like second degree manslaughter probably is what he should have been charged with, and that was not the case.
Right.
And
opinion sway what it ended up being, and everyone lost it. And everyone was like, oh, the system's so rigged. It's like, no, you went after something you couldn't do. And you know what? They're going to lose a second degree murder case.
Like third degree.
100%.
What was it? 2 days after Floyd got killed, I mm-hmm. watched all the stuff and read all the reports. I'm like, this is a third degree murder charge if everything we're seeing is correct.
Yep.
And they charge him mm-hmm. with third degree murder. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, it's not enough. You got to fucking do. No, you charge what you can fucking convict, man. That's the way it works.
Because of protesters. Everybody come out and said, you got to charge up the charges, get higher charges on these guys. And it's like, hey, man. You still have to go to court and prove that charge. And I don't know how you do that with that body cam footage that was just released.
You don't.
You can't prove intent to murder based on the way that they treated him for the first 14 minutes of that video. And look, we all agree that he shouldn't have put his fucking knee on his neck. And he was clearly out and gone at that point. You have to charge to what is appropriate, or you're not going to get a conviction. And I'm not sure they get a conviction.
No, and that's a real problem.
It's going to be a real problem
that's
next year.
Bomb.
Yeah.
because people are going to fucking
lose. If they get away with this, if they lose this charge, if they lose it, there's going to be riots that we've never seen in the United States. And it's not because of the racist system. It's because idiots that listen to popular opinion over what they should have actually gone after.
I agree. And I think, you know, when this does kick off next summer, we could be in the same situation that we are now, because I just don't think you can get it. I don't think you can get it. It's the same with Casey Anthony, same with Zimmerman. The charges were too high. And the prosecution went for it because of the public outcry.
You can't get sentimental about enforcing the law. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Like it's ones and zeros. You can either convict something or you can't. Look, there's a lot of nuance when you have 12 people in a jury to convict, for sure. But the letter of the law, if it's spelled out correctly, like the judge, the first thing that the judge does in a case like this, the first time he addresses the jury, he tells them what the charges are and what the requirements are to convict on that charge. And when he reads the requirements for a second degree murder in a Minnesota fucking jury, no fucking way, dude.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. This is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week. This drinking bro of the week was submitted from BK from SD. Is that South Dakota?
Maybe.
All right. Look at that.
I don't know.
We never get anybody from the Dakotas.
No.
I'm always proud of it.
There's like 12 people there.
Said he's been
not San Diego, right?
No, no, definitely not San Diego. You go a strong SD like that, it's got to be South Dakota. You know what I'm saying? Because it's in all caps too, so it's got to be
sure. That's
got to be on the envelope where they're sending their power bill. He said he's nominating Tony Sutter, and Coffee or Die actually did an article on him. It's a great piece. It's a U.S. Army veteran who cleaned up a vandalized Purple Heart sign in South Dakota. So we do have the answer there to South Dakota. It's another one written by Joshua Scovlin, Marty's brother. Big fan of him.
Yep.
He said, Tony Sutter was at work when he noticed photos of a vandalized sign pop up in his neighborhood watch group on Facebook in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I wonder if Elizabeth Warren spent any time in Sioux. Maybe not her tribe.
No.
I think she was Cherokee.
That's what my family is.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota is a Purple Heart city, which falls under the Purple Heart Trail program. One of their signs was marked on Highway 11, had been spray painted black, and he went out there to help clean it up. You can see the picture of it in Sioux Falls. So, yeah.
Why? Well, of all the things you could vandalize, why that one?
I don't know,
Do you think that man or woman wanted to go get fucked up for their country?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the intent, by the way.
Spray painted a purple heart sign.
Like, what the fuck? That's like spray painting handicap signs or something.
I don't know if you guys saw, I had that video 2 weekends ago in LA, and right outside the LAPD headquarters, there's the fallen officer kind of memorial where it shows all their badges, has all their names, and there's about, you know, 10 or so little glass cases. And when we were at the BLM, it was a BLM Antifa protest is what it was, showing solidarity for Portland, because apparently that's a thing now. and they went up to every single box and just spray painted X's all over the glass.
Jesus Christ. It's only going to get worse. Last question for you here before we let you get out of here. Let's say Trump does win on November 3rd, it is a decisive victory. Right. What happens the morning of November 4th? Because I was in New York last time when he won, and it was fucking 10,000-15,000 people protesting through the streets. You've been out in this every single night, get involved in these cities. What happens if he wins either that night or the next day? Is it just going to be fucking full on chaos in all these cities?
I'll be honest with you guys, for probably 10 days at least straight, there's going to be some of the biggest protests we've seen in the United States, if I had to guess. I think it's going to be partially because, and hear me out here, I think partially because they know that Ruth Bader Ginsburg's not going to make it another 4 years, possibly.
Or another
and
4 hours. She might not make
for
it
sure.
4 hours. Yeah.
And that's going to increase it. But these people genuinely believe that Trump is a racist. They believe that he's a fascist. They believe all this stuff. And, you know, that's what drives this very aggressive behavior when it comes to going out the streets, rioting, protesting. Yeah, people are going to lose their minds, man. People are going to absolutely lose their minds. I'll probably, if he wins, I'll probably fly out to DC just to cover everything that's going on, because it's going to be chaos. It'll be chaos for at least, I would say, 10 days straight. I can't imagine it would just be a peaceful, hey, he won, great. No, it's not going to be quiet. It's not going to be quiet at all. It's going to be chaos.
It wasn't quiet 4 years ago.
I wonder what the inauguration is going to look like. That'll be, let's see, let's look at the calendar.
It'll January, like January, it's usually January 21st, yeah. the third week in January usually. Yeah. But
it'll be January the 19th.
Yeah.
They'll probably have trouble even hosting the inauguration because people are going to be throwing objects mm-hmm. into the crowd. I mean, I couldn't even imagine that any of this stuff is going to be peaceful.
No, and I wonder with the rhetoric back and forth between Obama, because, you know, all the past presidents usually show up. They didn't do it for the unveiling of the White House portrait.
No, and then fucking Trump put Obama and George W. Bush's portraits in another part of the White House.
Yeah.
He's like the most petty dude of all time. It's actually, I mean, if it wasn't causing us problems, it would be really funny.
It's pretty funny, yeah, but for sure. I can't imagine if he does win and they do have this inauguration, if any of those presidents show up.
No, fuck no. I mean, they're all
absolutely not.
Even if there's a COVID vaccine by then, they'll find a reason.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I haven't gotten it yet.
Yep. I never got my invitation, bud. Yeah, sorry about it. Dude, you're a fascinating guy, man. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy your YouTube channel. Tell everybody one more time, remind them where they can find you and watch your videos.
Awesome. Yeah. So my handle is James Klug, KLUG on Instagram and YouTube. For Facebook and Twitter, it's Real James Klug, just because I kind of get the handle. And you guys, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Absolutely, man. Dude, yeah. You're a fascinating dude. Please come back after the election, because look, if Trump wins, you're going to be the guy out there, man. So we'd love to have you back on the show.
Yeah,
that's cool.
We're actually doing an election party live in Austin.
In Austin, Texas. Yeah, we're doing a live show that night for seven hours.
You can just come there because there will be a lot of armed people, so you don't have to worry about riots or anything.
Oh, there you go. No, I mean, I would love to you guys. It was definitely a huge pleasure being on the show, and love to come back.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Check out James's videos if you have not yet. For D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Drinking Bros. Good night. Night, everyone.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money.